Gene Dickman, Dana Eggert interviewing Mr. Amos Comey. Mr. Comey, we want to know all about you. Your immediate family, your parents, home, life in the community, your education, health, adolescence, courtship, marriage, occupations, and so forth.
Where do you want to begin?
We'll begin with your immediate family, your parents and brothers and sisters.
My parents, who are now both deceased, my father was Joseph Comey, who came to the United States in 1908. New York, then in Toronto, Canada, and only because he returned to New York two or three months before I was born, and I was like born an American citizen, missed being born in Toronto, Canada.
Where did he come from
he
before
came,
Toronto?
He came from a small village in what was then Poland, but is now considered to be part, which the Jews always considered to be. Lithuania was Polish, Russian, Lithuanian, and kept going back and forth. His father, my grandfather, was a famous, he was the head of one of the famous Lithuanian yeshivot, the Miller Yeshiva.
Which one? Spell
Yeshiva of Mir, M-I-R. Miller Yeshiva, M-I-R-R-E-R. Yeshiva. And my father was given a traditional yeshiva education and famous my grandfather did not want him to study his own yeshiva and sent him to another yeshiva. My father was caught up in the revolutionary movement, the ferment that took place in Russia in those years. Revolution in 1905, like four of his five, he and three other brothers kind of went away from the traditional way of life. My father became belonged to one of the many, many socialist movements that proliferated in those days. He joined a party which was called Socialist Territorialists. Very strongly Jewishly nationalistic and socialist at the same time. They believed there should be a Jewish homeland, but not necessarily Palestine. In later years, they did join with the Labor Zionist group. In those years, there was a Labor Zionist group and there was a socialist territorialist group. And as a result of his activity along those lines, in order to avoid being arrested and so forth, he left Russia. All Lithuania then was part of Russia. And he came to the United States. He was, all of his life, a Yiddish teacher, one of the pioneers in a very important movement that took place in the United States. Yiddish education, Yiddish folk show as they call it, things. We settled in Israel in 1918. I was born in 1950. In 1918, my family moved to Detroit. And my father taught in Yiddish schools in Detroit all of his life. He died in 1954. He had a national reputation. He wrote pedagogic books and even anonymously contributed some literary things to Yiddish journals from time to time.
What was his name?
His pseudonym?
No.
Joseph Comey. Joseph Comey. Joseph. That was his name. He contributed a pseudonym it?
Yes, it's
my mother came to America in 1910. She died in 1964 or 1965. She came by way of London. She had two older sisters who had settled in London, and she was with them for about a year. And then she came to America. She met my father because she also was involved in the same political, in the same movement that my father was in.
Was she from the same area in Lithuania?
No, she came from an area that was sometimes Polish and sometimes it's really White Russia, I think, is what it's called. I'm not really sure that you have any coordinate group down yet.
Yes.
Don't ask me where it is. so much for my parents. My immediate family.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have one brother who is, by profession, a city planner. He was, for many years, and this is only a coincidence, I mentioned Toronto before, but for many years he was director of the Toronto Metropolitan Planning Commission, which in city planning field in Toronto is considered one of the, if not the, outstanding examples, and my brother had a great deal to do with him. His name is L-E-L-I, Eli. We'll be called Eli, but we call him Eli.
Is he an older guy?
No, he is 5 years younger than I. For the past, a number of years ago, when he realized that he was becoming primarily an administrator, less and less a practitioner in this field. He resigned from the Toronto Commission and he went into private practice, which he then subsequently found himself again repeating because his practice grew, becoming an administrator. He deliberately cut his practice down to only a couple of clients. He has been for a number of years a professor at York University in Toronto in civil
planning. So he lives there.
He lives in Toronto. My sister, Hannah, is 15 years younger than I, and she has, her professional career in the United States, I'll explain what I mean by that, was primarily, for a number of years, in the field of concert management. She worked for several different concert management firms in New York. About 4 to 5 years ago, she made Aliyah to Israel. She now lives in Tel Aviv and is employed in a very interesting position where she is on the payroll of a Jewish agency that actually works in the office of the Ministry of Culture. Her responsibility is in the field of concert management and artist management to find and develop performance opportunities for immigrants in Israel, both within Israel and outside of Israel. She has particularly among the Russian great many musicians and performers. She has a special
experience. Did she have a background in music or
only the piano lessons that our mother forced us on the way? I'd be the only one who quit. My brother, incidentally, is an excellent amateur pianist. But neither my sister nor I told her.
But you obviously have an appreciation for it.
Yes, I reckon so. My own family?
Your own family.
Okay. My wife, Ethel, is a native Pittsburgher, as you may or may not. Her maiden name was Beres. She was... she went to... those days, I think it was Margaret Morrison, college at Carolina Tech, took her degree in library science. I married her before she was graduated. She moved to live with me in Detroit for about a year and a half. And it was in 1937 that we moved to Pittsburgh when I finally, after being resistant for quite a while, was persuaded by my late father-in-law, Ethel's father, to join him in what was the predecessor of this business.
What year were you married?
We were married in early 1936.
What were you doing before you got married?
I immediately out of high school, graduated from high school on Wednesday, and come at the day off. The following Friday morning, I reported for work at a research and development company in the oil and petroleum field in Chicago, Illinois, where an uncle of mine was a research chemist, and he had made arrangements the prior summer that upon my high school graduation, I worked for about a year in their testing laboratories, and that company was merged with the Royal Dutch Shell Company, which had a duplicated research facility in the Chicago area. There was a consolidation, and I was by about 6 years margin the youngest employee, and I was obviously the first to go and cut back. I came back to Detroit, had a number of odd jobs for about a year and a half, and then I secured employment in the as the only employee in the testing laboratory of a small Detroit Jewish-owned refinery, and it was from that job that I was persuaded to leave and come to Pittsburgh to join the club in this business. And I've been in this business since 1937.
I see. Maybe we should backtrack a little bit and talk about the community where you were born and what kind of education you had there.
All right. I've already told you that my regular secular education was through high school. I did not go beyond high school. My Jewish education was a Yiddish education, and I had a very, and it was the particular school where my father taught and where I received my education. In those years, it was quite, well, let me back up just a minute. Although Pittsburgh never had any such development, were from way back. At one time in the designer school, at another time in the circle, going way back, left wing movement that was affiliated with the communist movement, at various times started Yiddish schools and never had any success. But in Detroit, there was an enormous network, the working circle, labor Zionist Fabrand, and independent, it was called nonpartisan, showing the life of folks, showing the capital of the institution that my father taught, not politically identified as we were asserting as a nationalist, and the communist all had not just schools, but networks of schools. There must have been, at the time that I was getting my education, which would be essentially from the years 1920 through 1932 or thereabouts, there must have been at least 10 to 15 schools. Each movement had two or three schools. Yeah, right. All Yiddish schools with somewhat different emphases and with several thousand students. Well, I would say between 1,000 and 2,000 students. I had a very intensive education. Four to five. These were afternoon schools, afternoon and Sunday. And I, as I recall, even from the very beginning, from the early elementary days on, we went a minimum of three afternoons and like about 4 hours on Sunday. And in the later years, in high school class, I went all the way through high school graduation, we were going 4 days a week, four afternoons a week for about 2.5 to 3 hours, and 4 hours on Sunday. There is no such intensive afternoon program existing today, at least in the Pittsburgh area, around the Yiddish school, but in the religious Hebrew schools, there are no programs that are anywhere nearly as intensive as the one that I had the privilege
of. You talked about these being in Yiddish. Was
yes.
there no Hebrew
nope.
at all?
No. Well, the labor Zionist schools taught Hebrew. The Sholem Aleichem Folkshule that I went to in those years did not. In later years, they began to teach Hebrew as well. But in those years, it was all Yiddish.
You must have been a large Jewish community.
Yes. Well, the Detroit Jewish community then and now is one of the outstanding Jewish communities in America by any criteria. There are about 100,000. Today, the Jewish community in Detroit numbers approximately 100,000. It has a spectrum of Jewish activity, organizational, educational, cultural, and other matters that probably has no superior anywhere in the country other than New York City, of course. It is the number one city in America, one of the big cities in per capita. Contributions to the Federation UJA campaign, for instance. It just is a very, very active Jewish community. All the aspects and ramifications of Jewish life, religious, secular, cultural, and so forth. In those days, it was, and it still is to this day.
How big would you say it was when you were there?
Oh, I have no feel for it. I really don't.
We can look it up.
My guess is, if I had to make a guess, I would think that when I left Detroit, it was probably still growing, but like most other major Jewish communities in the north and in the east, it probably has stopped growing, and if anything, maybe declines. I wasn't aware enough of general community problems in those days that had any feel for the size of it.
Did your brother and your sister receive the same education?
Yes, they received the same education. The education I described for myself was something that. An interesting facet of that, if I may digress, the primary interest in our they describe, it's probably described Yiddish culture, Jewish culture, but Yiddish culture. I never spoke nor wrote, my parents lived for years after I left Detroit. I never spoke nor wrote anything but Yiddish in my parents. In our home, we spoke only English.
They knew how to speak English.
Oh, my father was a voracious reader, extremely well, self-educated, spoke in beautiful English, albeit with an accent. My mother spoke an acceptable English with a worse accent. And my mother didn't do much reading in English. My father did a great deal of reading in English. But it was a matter of philosophy and principle. We spoke only Yiddish. And I still speak an excellent Yiddish. I don't have much opportunity. I read Yiddish very fluently. And I understand Yiddish very fluently. My speaking vocabulary, because of lack of use and lack of opportunity, is not as great as my reading or verbal comprehension vocabulary. I give you that just as a side light.
No, it's the side lights that turn out to be more interesting.
And I still do more reading in Yiddish than I do in English. I don't do nearly as much reading as I like in general, but on a proportionate basis, reading is more, the greater component of my total reading is Yiddish.
Did you learn Hebrew also?
No, I have never learned Hebrew. I do not speak Hebrew. But anybody who knows Yiddish well knows a great deal of Hebrew, because the Hebrew component in Yiddish is very extensive. And particularly if one reads not just newspapers, but reads if one reads the poets and the writers and the critics, and I subscribe to a couple of literary journals, which are at a very, very high level, there is a very substantial component in what is called I'll say English, in literary Yiddish, there's a very high component.
For my own interest, yeah. Is Jewish Yiddish written in Hebrew letters?
Yiddish uses the same alphabet.
Same alphabet.
Exactly the same.
And you would know
the only difference between Yiddish and Hebrew is that the Hebrew uses, I don't know what the English word for the kugot is, you know, the vowels. The vowels are not the characters of the alphabet. Under the consonants. Whereas Yiddish uses the letters, the aleph, has a komets aleph, it's or, it's not. The Hebrew, same thing, the aleph wouldn't be in there, just the line. If the word was bought, it would be, it would be a comet symbol. And Yiddish would be an aleph with a comet symbol. They actually use letters of the alphabet
for vowels,
and the Hebrew they don't. To a great extent, they don't. They also use them, but not to as their end. It's a very complicated grammatical.
We're through with Detroit. And you started to tell us about your own family, I guess.
When Ethel and I arrived in Pittsburgh in July of 1937,
were you married then?
No, we were married.
You were married
early
here. 36.
No, we were married. We were married in Pittsburgh, but we lived in Detroit until July of 37. We lived in Detroit almost a year and a half. She was already pregnant with my first son, Sholem, who was born in September 1937. I had one son, Sholem. I had one daughter, Deborah, who was 4 years younger. Sholem was born in 37, they say 40.
Sure. Sure.
Scholem took his undergrad. Scholem, we gave both of our children the most intensive Jewish education that we could for what was available in Pittsburgh and New Zealand. Scholem went to the Beth Scholem elementary school and high school, went all the way through the high school. By the time Debbie was ready to start school, she was in the very first class, which started, Hillel Academy started with a kindergarten, and then the first year was added in the second grade, and the third, and the fourth. Debbie started with the original kindergarten class, the first one at Hillel, when there was only a kindergarten class. Went through the seventh grade at Hillel. We decided, we felt that high school, that she ought to be exposed to life as it is. And we took her out of Hillel for the eighth grade. Hillel went on into high school days and goes all the way through 12th grade now. But we took her out of Hillel when she finished the seventh grade. She went to 10th grade. But we sent her then to, at that time, the College of Jewish Studies. Secondary school was in existence, and she went through the high school at the College of Jewish Studies. Scholem went on to Brandeis University, majoring in sociology. From Brandeis, he went to Pitt Law School. He practiced law until was a partner in the law firm of Kaufman and Harris, that was its name again, until fall of 1976, when he joined our firm. He is now Senior Vice President and General Counsel for Action Industries. Gave up the public practice in law and came into our firm.
That's good.
I can tell you a great deal about his activity because he has a very interesting story, too, but I'm not sure that you want to hear that.
I do want to hear it. I don't want it to get cut off, though.
All right,
so
okay. All right. Let me stay with Scholem for a moment. Scholem became very active in many, many areas of community life, both Jewish and general community. Professionally, outside of his law practice, became very much interested in housing for the economically disadvantaged. He was counsel as a community service for an organization that was called CASH, the acronym is CASH, Citizens Against Slum Housing. He was very instrumental as part of that activity in developing a proposal, which was a book which eventually became the law in the state legislature for establishing a housing court in Allegheny County. And when that court was established, Mayor Barr. Mm-hmm. When that court was established, Mayor Barr appointed him the first magistrate, first judge of the housing court. He served in that capacity